recent news, there's been major changes to WA's local government system. Well, they've been proposed, including the axing of many councillor positions. It's all been done in an effort to streamline the sector and provide better value for money for ratepayers. Well, there's a term to start off with, ratepayers, because, heck, we all live in a council somewhere. To take us through, well, the proposed changes and how they could work well for us and work against us, I'm joined now by Dr. Andy Asquith, local government scholar from Curtin University. Good morning, Dr. Asquith.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing extraordinarily well. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm chipper.
Mate, that's a great way to start it. What are the key features of the proposed restructure?
Well, if you look at it in its entirety, it's a mixed bag. Some of the things are really good, and I applaud. Some of the features aren't so good. So we'll start with the good, first of all. The good is that many councils will be forced to elect the mayor. That's really important because the mayor is the one figure that can excite people to vote in local elections and can interest people in local government. It gets more people involved, it gets them more engaged.
Mm-hmm.
In a similar sense, the move towards preferential voting is to be applauded. The fact that some councils, some jurisdictions still use first-past-the-post voting in the 21st century, I find to be incredulous. First-past-the-post voting is inherently undemocratic. Something like 20 to 30% of all votes cast will decide the election. If you move to a preferential or proportional system that the minister's proposing, then what that means is between 70 and 80% of votes decide the election. That's a great plus.
Well, that's a major jump in the amount of people that actually have a say.
It's an incredible shift. They're the really good parts of the reforms. The really bad one, in my view, is the idea to reduce the number of councillors.
Why is that?
I get really distressed when people talk about the efficiency of local government. Local government isn't about efficiency, it's about effectiveness and impact. And if you reduce the number of councillors, then what that means is each councillor has to provide a voice for an increasing number of citizens. And what we see internationally is where you have councils, where you have a councillor representing a smaller number of electors, those electors become more engaged, more involved. It's better for local democracy. So what the minister is proposing to do here, in my view, is bad for local democracy.
Does that necessarily carry over? Are, for example, Australian councillors, well, that more, well, equally responsible as, say, their English counterparts?
Well,
has there like been any research done on Australian councillors to see, like, well, how hard they pedal?
Well, my view would be that councillors, irrespective of where they are, all pedal the same sort of speed. But what you have is you have some that don't pedal so fast and some that do. So you have an average speed that councillors pedal. But if you look at councillors across the globe, then what you find is, unfortunately, many of them become elected and they sort of vanish for 3 or 4 years between the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have fewer councillors, it's easier for them to hide.
Really? It's just simply because they're responsible for so many people, they can excuse themselves as being too busy to actually pay attention.
Well, there's that. And there's also the issue of work that I've come across that was done in New Zealand. And in New Zealand, where you have a similar model of local government to here in WA, is councillors get bombarded with paperwork and fulfilling what we call the governance function. And that work is done at the expense of the representation function.
So, I mean, isn't that governance handled largely by the bureaucracy inside the council?
Well, you would have thought so, wouldn't you?
But no, that's not the case.
Well, a council's got two hats to wear. They've got the governance role to keep, if you like, the bureaucracy in check, and then to be, you know, the voice of you and I and all our fellow citizens. But what tends to happen is the councillors get bombarded with paperwork, the governance role consumes everything, and it helps keep them occupied. It keeps them frustrated, it keeps them tied up.
Right, OK. One of the issues that from the outside that appears in the election of councils and councillors and mayors is the fact that the political parties are present, but they're kind of hidden. They're in the background. I know that the Greens recently took some moves in local council elections to actually, well, in inverted commas, brand a candidate. Is there, like, benefits? Well, are there benefits for keeping it hidden from the public? And should we be made aware that people actually are backed by, by the major political parties? I mean, it gets kind of obvious when you look at the associations of some of them where, you know, you've got, Liberal Party presidents being councillors.
I tend to think that the parties and their candidates treat you and I as mugs. I've come across a gazillion councillors in Australia and New Zealand alike that stand as independent. And yet, as you said, the Liberal Party president, there's been a Labour Party officer in some form. The perverse thing here is some work that I did in New Zealand a few years ago demonstrated that those candidates who stand in local elections on a clear party ticket have got a far higher chance of being elected.
And that's a good thing?
Why that? It's more transparent, more honest. And the reason why they were elected is simply because we have a situation where candidates have got some information in a booklet that goes to all electors and, you know, 200, 300 words perhaps, depending where you are. The analysis that we did of those statements demonstrated that basically everyone said the same thing. That they love their wife, husband, partner, their grandkids, they were kind to furry animals, and they were a member of a local charity. It says nothing at all about their social or political values. Mm. But as soon as someone has a blue rosette, a red rosette, a pink rosette, whatever colour rosette it is, then people have got some idea as to what that person stands for, what their values are, what they can expect from them. In what, let's not forget, a council is a political entity. So to pretend that, you know, that politics don't exist there is a nonsense.
So is there any range within these proposed changes to remove that curtain, to provide some transparency?
Out to Lunch is sponsored by Up, your path.
I think when you look at the context of the changes, these are the first major reforms in about 30 years. And I absolutely applaud the minister for grabbing the bull by the horns. And what he's doing is making some incremental changes. If something's done incrementally, it's got far more chance of taking root and being long-standing than if there's a revolution. So I would like to see at some point the minister come back and look at the changes that he's proposing and he intends to make, and then to take them further.
Take them further.
One of the things I would like to see is the fact that we should recognise that party politics do exist in local government. We should recognise it and celebrate it because, you know, the political parties often use local government as a training ground for future state and Commonwealth politicians. Certainly that's the practice that I've seen in the UK and in other parts of the world.
Well, it certainly occurred here in Western Australia.
Well, you look at Matt McGowan's a good example, isn't he? He was deputy mayor, I think, of Rockingham before he was a member of the state parliament.
Well,
I'd put my socks on that when he was in Rockingham, he wasn't a Labour Party councillor.
You've only to look at our local council here, the town of city of Vincent. You've got John Carey going from being mayor to a state seat. Before him was John Hyde going from mayor to Alana McTernan, I think, was before that.
It would just, in my view, make politicians certainly to be more transparent and make them appear to be more transparent. You know, we look around the world and people have an issue with politicians not being what they claim to be.
Well,
and having the current situation in local government doesn't help that.
Sorry, Doctor, just finally, I mean, we looked, there was an opportunity recently for councils to be downsized, when the issue of the city of South Park was thrown up when it came to downsizing councils. I mean, obviously, these sort of changes are very rare. How likely is that the proposals that have come forward are going to actually get passed?
Unfortunately, I would tend to take the view that the minister will get his way. I don't think there's a strong enough voice from local government to push back.
But that's a good thing. I mean, we'll get things like, as you're saying, I mean, the positive, the direct election of mayors, and preferential voting, hopefully.
You're right, mate. You've got to take the whole collection of reform in their entirety, and you take the good with the bad. We don't live in a utopian existence here. The only things we get are good things. And councils will have to work with it. It's up to councils to demonstrate that they should exist and why they should exist. And the mayor being directly elected, and a different voting system that should hopefully engage and empower more people, that should be taken by Walga and local council to demonstrate the relevance and importance of local government. And that should be used as a stepping stone to get more power and responsibility devolved.
Well, and it's up to all of us as, well, citizens, not ratepayers, to voice our concerns around, getting things like direct election of a mayor happening, getting preferential voting, and not to be reducing the amount of councillors. I mean, that would be your advice to us as, people, as citizens out there, yes?
Well, absolutely. One of the things that we don't talk about very often is how fragile and precious democracy is. And once a year, the Economist Intelligence Unit produces a global democracy audit. And there are something like 185 countries involved in this audit. And only about 24 or 25 are classed as full democracies. We have the privilege of living in one of those full democracies. We should cherish and celebrate that. But we don't.
Right, a very good note to finish on. We all need a little bit of a shake-up, don't we, Dr. Asquith? Thank you very much for joining us this morning on The Record.
A pleasure. Thank you.
That is Dr. Andy Asquith. He's a local government scholar at Curtin University, talking to us there about proposed changes to our local government system. As always, speak up, people. Get out there and get involved.